Find your missing ingredient at the 2024 National Restaurant Show. Whether you're looking to adapt your offerings to satisfy shifting dinner expectations, seamlessly navigate razor-thin margins, or integrate next-era solutions to offset labor challenges, the show has everything you need to plate up success for your operation. See tomorrow's ideas come to life and find inspiration for your next big concept as you explore a bustling show floor featuring over 900 product categories. From award-winning food and beverage items to innovative back-of-house equipment and technology. Join your peers at the show for Food Service in Chicago, May 18th to 21st, and get a taste of the future. Visit the official show website at www.nationalrestaurantshow.com to register and learn more.
Welcome to MenuFeed, a weekly podcast from Restaurant Business and Food Service Director. I'm Pat Kobe, Senior Editor covering food, drink, chefs, and trends for both brands. Joining me on the podcast is Rayanne Sarazin, author of The Complete Recipe Writing Guide, a book designed to help professional chefs, menu developers, and dietitians master the art of recipe writing. Rayanne explains why and how well-written recipes are so valuable to productivity and profitability in the kitchen. Her detailed chapters go into recipe development, formatting, nutrition guidance, and visual presentation. The visual part more important than ever in this age of Instagram and TikTok. As a registered dietitian, Rayanne also talks about the hot topic of food as medicine. Very timely as March is National Nutrition Month. Listen as she shares all the skills that go into writing a professional recipe and why those skills can boost a kitchen's efficiency, ease staff training, and improve the menu. Welcome, Rayanne. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here, Pat.
Well, let's begin by you telling me a little bit about your professional and culinary background and the stepping stones in your career.
Wow. Well, I have been around in the industry for about 25 years in a variety of different capacities. I've worked as a clinical dietitian in hospitals and diabetes treatment centers and dialysis centers. I've worked in restaurant kitchens, and I have also worked in food publishing. I was the test kitchen director at the Chicago Tribune and assistant food editor. And in my consulting, I've done a lot of recipe development and food writing for different publications, Wall Street Journal, the Tribune Magazine, Better Homes and Garden, Cooking Light when it was around. And as you know, I've also in the past 4.5 years have been focused on writing a book, The Complete Recipe Writing Guide. It is a comprehensive book dedicated just to the entire subject of recipes.
Cool. And so being both a dietitian and a chef must have prepared you well for writing a book like that.
Yes, it really did. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetic, which is the publisher of this book, reached out to me many years ago because they knew I had a culinary background and also a nutrition background. I'm a dietitian. And they know I've worked in publishing, and they found that their members were producing a lot of recipe content. They're dietitians working for food companies, writing blogs, and working in that industry, but didn't have the culinary or the recipe writing skills. And they had asked me to put together a book proposal on the topic of recipes, of which in the development of this proposal, it was one thing. And by the time it was published, it became a much larger endeavor than I had anticipated. And So the original audience was the dietitian, but it has really grown into a much larger audience. The book is useful in the sense that it translates dietary guidance into recipes, which is also helpful for all healthcare professionals and also dietitians, nurses, pharmacists. But it's also really helpful for the food editor, food writer who wants to learn how to translate dietary guidance into recipes, and also for someone who just really wants to improve their recipe development skills for the stories that they're writing.
But I would think it would also help chefs in restaurants a lot because a lot of them are trying to be more health conscious and plant forward and, you know, just doing more fresh, healthy, you know, recipes than they've done before. And their menus are really changing. So are you intending it for some restaurant chefs as well?
Yeah, yes, very much so. So I think, you know, in the sense of who the audience is for, it is for healthcare professionals, it is for food writers and editors, it is also for chefs and cooking teachers and people who want to learn how to write better recipes, who want to translate their kitchen creations from the kitchen onto the page and into something that somebody could actually use, which in this case, in the restaurant industry, it would be for kitchen staff.
Right. Well, you know, recently I did a story where I interviewed, he's actually a professor at Ohio State Hospitality's program. And he was telling me how important it is to have consistent recipes so that you don't like eat into your profit margins at restaurants. And consistency and profitability and menu appeal all goes together with the kind of recipes you have. So what would you say to that?
Well, I guess there's so many things. You know, there's the recipe that's for the consumer, and then there's the commercial recipe. And either way, a recipe should be accurate, reproducible, and taste delicious. And in order for it to be reproducible and have the quality be the same and have the yield be the same, you need to have the same parameters that you would if you were developing for just a regular consumer audience. It has to have, you know, specific ingredients that you're calling for. The quantities have to be very specific and, you know, the word of everything being standardized. Mm-hmm. And so in this sense, you know, it is something that if the recipe is well written and it can be followed by the kitchen staff where the chef can just step aside and not have to worry if, you know, he won't have to worry or she won't have to worry is the taste, texture and final product the way they wanted it. It's the recipe that's going to be able to be the guiding light that's for the kitchen staff to follow.
Mm-hmm. So when you worked in restaurants, did you have, I mean, now it's all very high tech and you can, you know, a lot of cooks look at their tablets or their phones or, you know, some kind of software that's in the kitchen and find the recipe that everyone is using at their multiple locations if they have them. So when you worked in a restaurant, were they mostly like printed out recipes or... I know you're not, you know, well, it wasn't that long ago.
It's actually really interesting because I have worked in many different type of restaurants from a high-end restaurant like Charlie Trotter's. I worked at Wolfgang Puck. I worked at a long time ago, but it was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I've worked at really small restaurants also. And I won't, you know, say who's had recipes and who hasn't, but I find it really interesting that a lot of chefs who really have, at least from my experience, control in the kitchen, there were no recipes. And I think a lot of it came from watching them, teaching, you know, we were taught, we were tasting, we were then following what they did. But larger type of restaurant, I guess, chains or companies, they had very specific recipes that were followed.
Right. And now that there's such a labor challenge in a lot of restaurants, I think it's even more important that you have standardized recipes because there aren't those chefs to train at every location, or they might be cooking themselves, you know, and behind the stove and they don't have the opportunity to train the cooks. So I would think that something like your book would really be valuable in a restaurant kitchen.
I mean, I think so, because I think a chef should really understand how to write a recipe, period. I can't really I'm not an expert in the labor shortage, but I understand that if people have a recipe that they could follow, it would allow less training, mm-hmm. less handholding, other things that allow newer people to come in, and it would actually be a very efficient process.
You know, training is such a big deal now because there aren't enough people to go around to do a lot of training. And they're, you know, so I would think having like training recipes can actually train a cook, a line cook.
For sure, I think a recipe can train. And I think the problem is that recipes can serve so many different purposes. And I think for a chef, it is for training their kitchen staff definitively. But I also think chefs should know how to write a recipe because it's a marketing tool. It's a marketing tool for their website. It is the marketing tool for social media, and they what I have seen, because I've edited and worked with a lot of chefs in terms of translating their creative kitchen creations to the page, and they're most often unreadable. And what's interesting about it is their food is so delicious, but then if I have shown them the recipe, they'll say, I'm not really sure, or wait, I don't remember, or there's something in the ingredient list and it's not even in the recipe step, or there's something that's written like salt to taste, which again, if you're wanting your recipes to stand on their own for your kitchen staff, I mean, what's to taste unless you have the person standing next to you training so they can actually cook that dish to taste.
Right.
So, It is sort of an interesting thing. Recipe writing is apparently on the outside like such an easy thing to do. But then when you actually have somebody sit down and write their recipe, it's a whole different skill set. There is recipe development, which is such a creative process. Mm-hmm. And then there is recipe writing, which is the translation of what you're doing in the kitchen into words. And then the recipe testing, which is a big part of a standardized recipe. Mm-hmm. It's about precision, accuracy, and reproducibility. So all of these skill sets, which the book covers, it covers the whole entire recipe workflow. So I guess we didn't even get a chance to talk about what's in the book, which the first six chapters are dedicated to recipe development. The first chapter sets the foundation of recipe development, touching on topics from copyright to what is an original recipe, to the cultural appropriation of recipes. And the remaining five chapters there covers all of the different dietary guidance for people who are developing recipes for health and wellness, for food allergies, for plant-based, for people with celiac disease or celiac sensitivity, the FODMAP diets. And it really, what it does in those chapters is helps people like chefs understand, though they have the creative and ingredient understanding, is really knowing, well, if you're developing a recipe for someone with celiac, monosodium glutamate, MSG, I've seen people share with me that they think that contains gluten. It does not. Mm. And I think that even an ingredient like Shoxing wine, which is a rice wine vinegar that people use in different dishes, it is also wheat. There's wheat in there as well. And a lot of people don't know these type of details. And I think today, and I had written this down because I was just shocked by this, because I think about when you had said, you know, the whole health aspect of working in restaurants, that mm-hmm. half of all adults have one or more preventable chronic related health condition, heart disease, blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. That's like 117 million people.
Wow.
Over 32 million people have food allergies, and over 2 million people have celiac disease. So I think what's interesting about that is that you can't be in a restaurant kitchen today without a really good understanding of diet in relation to recipes, diet in relation to serving the customer. And this book, The Complete Recipe Writing Guide, does a lot of education in the first six chapters in laying that foundation where people can look things up that they don't have the knowledge or the answers to. It's, I guess I forgot to mention, the book itself also was peer reviewed. So every chapter went out to anywhere from 3 to 10 reviewers. And there were many people I interviewed for the book who were really very helpful and provided some wonderful expert tips throughout the book. And after the recipe development chapter, there's a really solid chapter on recipe writing, another solid chapter on recipe testing, all the instructions on how to do that in a professional kitchen. Mm-hmm. There's also a chapter on nutrition analysis, which is something that a lot of restaurant menus have to do today.
Right.
And then the last chapter is on food styling, photography, and video. And as we know, Pat, that is probably the most important form of content today, unfortunately, is the visual representation of the recipes.
Right.
So, and there's really useful appendices at the end too, even if examples of a recipe style guide, but you know, that can be used for digital publications, back a package, mm-hmm. or even for anybody who wants to just
right.
create parameters.
Well, when I first started out, I know there was a book, you know, it was written probably in the 90s about recipe writing. And this one sounds so much more comprehensive and, you know, you dug a lot deeper into like the all the aspects that go into making a recipe successful. So
yeah, and I know exactly the books you're referencing, and they were so wonderful. They are great, but you know, they're over 30 years old.
Right. Right.
So they're I still think, you know, it's interesting. They have such staying power, and I think they're at my desk right now as well. They were the book, actually one of them was the book that I used when I was starting out. And I think what makes this book different is it's a lot more modern, because today now recipes are so visual, and that's a really important aspect of working with recipe content. It's important. And also the health angle is something that's just really just prevalent everywhere, and you can't avoid it. And 30 years ago, it was meant, the books that we're both referencing, which they're good, they are very good, but it was meant more for food editors, for newspapers and magazines. Right. So.
Exactly. Well, since March is National Nutrition Month, and let's talk a little bit about your food as medicine approach, because you mentioned, you know, the horrifying statistics about how many health and, you know, how many nutrition related diseases there are in this country. So what is your health? What does food as medicine mean to you?
Well, food as medicine is a bit of a sort of a trendy thing right now. And I really believe as food as medicine, or food and health. And it's basically, I think of food as medicine as nutrients that we get through food that help prevent or manage or cure a disease. Mm-hmm. And I think food as medicine is something that is getting a lot of recognition for a lot of doctors and lifestyle medicine doctors. And I think it is really important. And I think people now really see how much diet can affect their health, whether it's their immune system, whether it's with inflammation, whether it is with things that seem to be more prevalent than ever, like celiac sensitivity for all the people who are gluten-free, mm-hmm. for an example. And I'm very happy that it's getting the attention that it has. You know, it's interesting being a dietitian for so long and working many years ago in hospitals. I used to do cooking classes for people with diabetes before this was a thing. And I would get a table into a room, and the patients would come out who were newly diagnosed, and I would do nutrition education with recipes before I even knew what recipe development was or what teaching cooking was all about. But as a dietitian, I felt like it was very closely aligned. And I think today there's just more awareness to that fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very big at colleges and universities, as you know. I think that's where, I mean, I think the chefs who are at colleges and in healthcare or senior living are really a lot more attuned into what you're talking about than restaurant chefs at this point. But hopefully we'll all get there someday.
Yeah. And I actually am doing some work with some universities. And I know what's really wonderful is that different dietetic programs have already picked up the book, and they are incorporating it into their curriculum on this topic. Is food as medicine, or culinary nutrition is what it's often called. And, you know, the only one thing that I could say that is difficult, because I've worked in a lot of clinics and dialysis centers and diabetes treatment centers, is that in some ways, food is also about access. And so what I find is hard is that I'm a big proponent as food as medicine, and I believe how food can affect our health and well-being, but it's also coming from a place of privilege, and my refrigerator is stocked. And for somebody who doesn't have food access, their food as medicine is a much different picture.
Right. Well, you also talked about cultural appropriation, which is a very big factor at colleges now when chefs are developing, you know, global dishes. So is that something you get into in the book, or do you have any comments on that?
Yes. Well, okay. My big comment is it's a very touchy topic, depending on who you're going to engage on the topic with. But I think that recipes are about sharing, just in general. And I think that means sharing from one culture to another culture. And I also believe that anybody should be able to create a recipe from a different culture But nobody should ever take that recipe, in my opinion, and make a profit, so to speak, from it. That is where the appropriation seems wrong. But I think when I write recipes, I will always in a recipe head note or somewhere within the context of the rest, the story that accompanies the recipe, I will always give credit and respect to where the recipe came from. That is to me the golden rule always, mm-hmm. because all recipes come from somewhere. And there's no reason why not to, just in general, to say where your recipe was inspired from or where you got this idea. And I think that's showing respect. And I think that to me is most important in this topic of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, let's go ahead.
But can I say, I could add something else? I think that as somebody who crosses over in the context of culinary nutrition and publishing, sort of I have worked at the intersection of all that. I learned so much from travel. And to me, I can't imagine being handcuffed and not being able to come home and share what I've learned. And I think that there's something incredibly special about that and sharing what is happening all over. We live in a global world, and a lot of young people are traveling. And they're very familiar with the ingredients that are used in different cultures and are open to trying new things. I just think it's all about respect and giving credit to where you got your ideas from.
Definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's next. Are you, going on a book tour, or what else do you have planned for 2024, both personally and professionally?
Well, I guess for starters, I am definitely not going to write another book for a while. after almost 4.5 years of working on this book, I think that was a really long experience. But I really want this next year to be about people becoming aware of this book as the new recipe writing book, as the resource to teach you how to translate dietary guidance into recipes, to really walk you through that whole recipe workflow that is a lot more complex. I am doing a lot of talking and teaching, and I'm very excited about that. And I also would have to say, for anybody out there who's written a book, it could be a very isolating process. It took a lot of concentration and focus. And I really look forward in this next year, which I guess is happening a bit from going to conferences, but to get out there and work collaboratively again with people on more projects that feel it's not just in front of my computer writing.
Thanks so much, Rayanne. It's so great to kick off National Nutrition Month with such an interesting conversation. You can download this episode of Menu Feed and past podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Pat Kobe.